This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. The roof of the south stand at Starch Park is some 19 metres above the pitch, the same height as 11 Aidan Connollys. But as we all know, there's only one Aidan Connolly, and so you'd be much better off with Dynamic Industrial Services. DIS specialise in working at height, offering a range of services including maintenance, inspection and repair. To find out more, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Oh No 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 podcast, and it is preview time again as we look ahead to Ayr United's arrival on Saturday. Storm Kathleen will be in full effect by Saturday afternoon, and the Rovers will be looking to blow away any frustration from last week's defeat at Tannadice against Scott Brown's Ayr United, who, with six games to go, can still be considered realistic contenders for the playoffs at both ends of the division. My name is Duncan Cameron, and I am joined for this episode, first of all, by a few familiar faces. So first of all, we've got Scott Fleming. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Looking forward to just getting back on the run again, and hopefully we can get 3 points again.
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely. Would be nice. We've also got Robbie Weir too. How are you, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm good. Looking forward to Saturday. Got my free ticket courtesy of Club 1883, so thank you to the club for that, and yeah, looking forward to it.
Perfect. We've got Christina Beattie too. How are you, Christina?
Good, glad to be back. It's been a while, so I'm buzzing to be back on and talking about Rovers again for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, however long we go.
I think we'll see, put it that way. We've also got Graham Meldrum too. How are you, Graham?
I'm looking forward to meat and potatoes games against relegation cannon fodder.
Good. I like it more playing Ayr United than you're on. You get a bit of, an extra bit of needle that you maybe wouldn't otherwise get from one of these run-of-the-mill games. And also, just as a special little bonus, we've also got to thank the board for opening the transfer kitty and letting us bring in some fresh legs for the run-in, because we've got a debutante tonight. We've got Callum Blythe, who anyone on the YouTube will have noticed is in incognito tonight. So we don't have visuals, but we do have audios for Callum. How are you, mate?
You know how when you see it, it's like, what is it, a Bloody Mary? You see Bloody Mary three times into a mirror and it'll appear. Well, you said it, I've been mentioned twice on this podcast, so my voice has appeared. So maybe next time I'll get the camera and I'll fully appear.
yeah, all right, disembodied voice. the disembodied voice of Beetlejuice. Cal, I'm gonna stick with you just as is... kind of well-worn tradition now, somebody's on for the first time. Just give us your general thoughts on kind of season so far, anything you want to give us actually on last week at Tannadice, and what's still to come in this run-in, please.
Well, this season, couldn't be happier. Obviously, there is a whole issue with dropping points when Dundee United have dropped points. There's like moments where it's been annoying, but like the grand scheme of things, like if you were to say with, what, six games left, with 4 points off of Dundee United per game in hand, I would not have believed you. So, with the run-in, obviously our game in hand is against Airdrie, so that doesn't count, but just got to keep good momentum, and if Dundee United slip up, they slip up. If not, then take that momentum into the playoffs. That's what it is at this point, really.
Yeah, definitely, and kind of on that point, actually. But the game in hand and all that kind of stuff. Scott, coming to you on this one. This game on Saturday, are we in a must-win territory now? Or are we in must not do worse than Dundee United territory, given we've still got Tuesday night to come.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because I think I'm going to say majority of the fan base will probably say we're in a must-win territory because it's now more than a result away sort of situation. I think had it been a draw on Saturday, for instance, it doesn't make Saturday a must-win sort of game. It just, I still believe that Dundee United have got at least one slip-up in them in this last, well, they've got five games left. It was on, I think it was on the radio last week, the guy was saying that Dundee United have had three wins in a row once this season. Yes, they might go and get three wins and then two draws or something, but I've got a feeling they might slip up at some point. Who against, I don't know, but we have to be there ready to pounce and almost, we're going to have to almost be perfect. Out of six games, I'm going to say we probably need to win five of them, to be fair. So we are going to have to be almost perfect, as I say. So I would say we are kind of right on that sort of must-win territory, but at the same time, you just cannot afford to lose in Dundee United to get even a draw, because then you're pretty much almost done at that point.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Graham, would you agree with that? And also, feel free to give me any of your thoughts on last week as well, actually.
I think we're in, as I said before, we're in the meat potatoes now. Yeah, last week was, I think, massively hyped up by media and everybody. I've set my stone on second place. Yeah, that's where I think we're going to end up. That's where I think we're going to be. Anything more than that is a complete and utter bonus. Yeah. And that's how I think we should approach the season, the rest of the season, to be fair. I think if we keep thinking and chasing Dundee United, I'm very, very concerned we end up in a whatever season it was where this mob down here pipped us to the title in the last seconds of the campaign. I would hate for it to be like that. Because we never got over that and going into the playoffs. We never got over that. Now, if we finish second, we've got a week, I believe, before then we have to play. But I would rather it was settled before then. My biggest concern is, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, if St Johnstone finish second bottom, we go into that playoff final, if we get there, without a right back. So I think we need to be thinking about things like that. With regards to the games we're playing, I'm not saying we go against A90, we get beaten, we're all going to go, that's all right, we'll get second. We should still go for it. I think there's less pressure now. Personally, I've not seen massive expectation or felt the massive expectation we had last week. But I'm not saying if we get beat, yeah, everything's rosy. Obviously, we want to go and win, but I think there's a wee bit of pressure taking off us just now.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Robbie, do you agree with that? You think are you looking at second place now, or do you think that's still too soon?
I'm just built into the manager cliche book of one game at a time. The only concern we should have is the Air United game. I wouldn't even look to the Airdrie game yet. Just focus on getting through Saturday, because these things can change so quickly, as we know already. We look 2-0 up at Arbroath, absolutely cruising, going ahead top of the league with a game in hand, and then all of a sudden it changed so quickly. There's nothing to say that it can't change on Saturday, it can't change the week after. And the only thing you can really do is focus on that day. I think it'll still be a very tough game. Ayr just seem a very stop-start team at the moment, and Graham will know a lot more about that than we will, because obviously being local to them, he'll be well in the loop about how their squad is. They seem to have a few defensive worries at the moment. But all we can do is focus on ourselves. If we do finish second place, that's absolutely fine, because that's where I'd personally, right at the start of the season, I predicted we'd finish second. That would be where we'd end up. I think the two statements can both be true, that you can be happy with second, but you can also be disappointed that we've not gone on to win the league. I don't think it's a sort of one or the other option. But there's nothing I think with every team that we've seen so far this season, there's nothing in particular to fear. even the games against Airdrie, they've still been very, very close for the first game and even the second game at Starks. The latter two games obviously weren't so as much, but I just got to keep our powder dry, focus on Saturday, see where we are, and how things go from there.
Yes, you're right about Air United being stop start. I think I'm right in saying their last nine league games have been win-loss, win-loss.
Yeah, that's Scott Brown's record, win-loss, win-loss, and he won last week, so...
This is it. They're lined up for a defeat, but it will be interesting. I think, as you would expect from a manager who wins one week and loses the next, I don't think anybody can quite pin down Scott Brown just yet in terms of how he's doing or how he's going to do. And they've not got kind of their injury troubles to seek either. They're definitely moving players around. And Graeme, I think you were saying earlier, what is it, they're going to have to play their left back at right back or their right back at left back.
That's what they played last week, is their right back was playing left back. And the boy for Kilmarnock was playing right back.
Yeah, it's Charlie Cowie vibes all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, that was exactly the chatter in our WhatsApp. It just gives us the fear, because I cannot for the life of me remember a time where a Raith Rovers team has gone up against a side that's completely against the odds, playing a 16-year-old in goals. They've probably got a 35-year-old who's like up top, 36-year-old who's got one knee. You could have like four players sent off and we'll still find a way to make it difficult, if not lose the game. But at the same time, see what happens.
Do you remember when Neil McCann came back from Sky Sports to play a game for Dundee and he scored against us in the last
match? Remember we only won 1-0 against Dundee when they had Bobby Geddes in goals? Like, that's lucky. The type of thing that you're on about. Like, everyone's like, oh, brilliant, rub your hands together. This is going to be an absolute feast. We're going to slaughter them. I cannot remember for the life of me one situation where we've slaughtered a club that's been in that position.
Nah, just once.
But if you want to start, if you do want to start, feel free, Rovers, to go on ahead on Saturday and do it.
Yeah, just once I'd like to play a team that's full strength so that we've got half a chance.
We are due to like give somebody a right hiding, so why not now?
Well, calm down. We've only beaten them further by two goals this season. That's it. That's our allocation sorted.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we finally won a game by more than two goals, but then we almost immediately then lost one by two goals as well. So I was happier when it was all just keep nice and keeping everybody close. Christine, I'll give you your thoughts, kind of more so after Saturday, I suppose. Kind of, has your optimism been dented?
No, I've given up all kind of expectation. I've tried to give up like predicting anything, like my lineup for Saturday and stuff. I'm just like, I'm here for it now. So many times this season, I've thought, oh, we're on such a good run. The peak, we got like Dundee United in December, hit the peak, and then we went on that massive long run of terrible form, and then we come back up again, and then you've got your Dunfermline derbies have been amazing. You're just like, what is going on? It is definitely a roller coaster. So at this point, I'm thinking Dundee United must be under massive, massive pressure as a club. Let's just let them be under that pressure. They really did not think their season was going to go this way. They thought they were going to have the season done and dusted by now, and we're still hot on their tail. So I'm just thinking, if it's a playoff situation we're in, it's a playoff situation we're in. But I just think no matter what happens, it's going to go to the wire. If we win the league, it's going to be the last moment. It's never going to be like done and dusted in a couple of games. If we're in the playoffs, we're going to get to the final. Like, I just feel like this is the way this season has just gone from the beginning. It's never been straightforward at all. After Saturday, I wasn't there at Dundee. I watched the highlights back and I felt like it was very flat, it was quite boring. And then, like, in terms of calling it highlights, there was nothing really to highlight in that game at all. I'm just kind of hoping for a bit of a better watch. I mean, from what I'd heard from people that were there, it wasn't great to watch at all. So I'm hoping just for a really nice, nice, enjoyable game. And who knows? Who knows a score prediction, anything like that? I mean, I'm just going to see 3-0 and put it out there, because anything's possible at this point.
I like that you started that by saying you'd stop making predictions and then just finished it with another prediction. That's...
Here we go.
You know what was missing last Saturday, Christina? You and your stellar away record.
I know. That says it all. I actually had the notification set on my phone only if they're over scored. So I'm like, right, 3 o'clock, here we go. Phone was in my bag. I'm in a shop and I'm like, I've not heard anything happen yet. That must be about 20 minutes. Come out the shop, I'm like, nothing from the Rovers. Go to the next shop, I'm like, is this on? I'm like, why am I not hearing anything here? And I was just getting more and more frustrated looking at it. I was like, what is going on? And I decided not to look at it at all. And I looked at it at like 89 minutes and I was like, oh dear.
That's the most optimistic thing I've ever heard. Putting on score alerts, but only for the team that you want to win. I really like that.
Yeah.
I think that's,
I was like, I don't want to hear it unless it's a ping saying it's a Rovers goal. And that did not happen. So, I see, that's what I'm saying. I've just said I'm not going to make a prediction and I did. So I don't even know what to say anymore. This is the way the season's gone at this point.
Well, I think, I mean, you're right, certainly, that Saturday was low on kind of goal-mouth action, I suppose. Probably in stark contrast to Ayr's last visit. I'd probably like a level of excitement somewhere between the two than the 4-4 with the red card. Which again,
ideally we can just keep it to the Rovers 4 and Ayr just not having any of the other side would be great.
Yeah, just like bringing guys off the bench who've not kicked a ball all season and are rearing through our back line. That one of my least favourite games of the season, I think, that one, despite the 4 goals. The angriest hat-trick photo you'll likely see from Lewis Vaughan after that one.
Just be thankful you're not sitting there as a 16-year-old with all your pals at school in Ayr messaging you every time Ayr claw a goal back or go in front. Yeah, my poor son, I've never seen anybody as nervous in my life during that 90 minutes.
Yeah. I wonder how much more kind of down we would have been on that result had we not had that Hamilton game a few seasons back where we were 4-0 up at half time. It's like actually makes other 4-4 draws seem fine in comparison, even if the opposition have had a man sent off. I don't know, so I should have looked this up. Again, a proper podcast host would have done. Is Logan Chalmers, is he injured? Is he just kind of out of favour? He's injured, right, okay.
Apparently out of favour, it seems to be a lot of young guys who do what they're told by Scott Brown who are playing in that position at the moment.
That's all right, though, because Ayr probably have a player that's came from, like, the Ismanthian Conference League in England out of a reserve side that's just going to show up and be a world beater because that's what they tend to do down at Ayr United when they're playing us. Just,
is Logan Chalmers the moment the longer here?
Absolutely stinking old.
He's like a poor man's Jack Grealish.
And he's injured.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, because he was brilliant.
I thought he was... I said it at the time when that game happened. I was amazed that, like, Dundee United couldn't find the use for him. And I've been a standout any time I've seen him, like, in the telly for other games as well. And I know he didn't play against Airdrie last week, which... incidentally, did anybody else see that game? It's a right funny game. So Airdrie, the first half was fairly even. Airdrie took the lead not long before halftime, and then it looked like it should just be like one-way traffic. You know, like whichever team gets their nose in front will basically stroll this second half because there wasn't much going on.
Basically, all our other games against Airdrie this season then.
Yeah, effectively. You think if anybody's going to be able to do this, it's Airdrie. And then Ayr came flying at the traps second half, scored twice in the first 5 minutes, and then they just absolutely controlled the whole thing. Airdrie looked very un-Airdrie-like. But I think that, again, probably from what I'm seeing, kind of encapsulates Scott Brown's Ayr United. They seem to have been very good or very bad.
I think Rhys McCabe didn't play that game, did he, for Airdrie?
No, he didn't play their midweek game.
He went off injured in the cup final because he took himself off at half time.
Is that well, hopefully he's not back for midweek. That would be nice. Callum, anything else for you? Or before we will get into lineups next, but anything in terms of, you know, optimism, pessimism? Are United going into this one?
I'd say we've had Ayers' number this season, obviously, apart from the 4-0, which just seemed to be a complete and utter shambles for both teams. Well, it's like, we beaten them in both games at Somerset. And it's like, I was at the first one, and that one was quite comfortable. And then there was the most recent one, which unfortunately I wasn't able to make it to, but that one's, from what I heard of, is also a bit of a comfortable win as well. So hopefully we do the same where we win 2-1, nice comfortable manner, instead of whatever the fuck happens back in December with the 4-0. Whilst we were talking about the Ayr against Airdrie game that was on TV last week, like the only thing I'd seen from that game was the absolute war crime that was that tackle. Like there was the one where it's like the Airdrie boy should have been sent off. I was just looking at it, it's like, how has that been given us a booking?
Yeah, the referee's looking right at it, and it's right there. The only thing I thought of that was that it was Michael Stewart was doing the kind of co-commentary, and he was going really over the top, and like he kept calling the guy a coward, which I thought was quite a personal insult. For yeah, like, it definitely should be a red card, and it definitely is a bad tackle, but. Yeah, I kept just repeatedly going on about how cowardly it was and how it was a coward's challenge. Like,
I love listening back when we've had games on like BBC Scotland and Michael Stewart's doing the commentary, just because like you had the McCann getting absolutely ended psychologically by Kevin Dabrowski after the penalty save at East End Park. And he's like, why is he doing that? Why is he getting in his face? Well, Michael, it's because it's a really good laugh. It's hilarious to watch from our point of view. And then you had the sliding into Sunday tackle from Jack Hamilton, which he got really upset about as well, which was also very, very funny. So,
yeah, just permanently upset. I think my favourite thing is any time anyone mentions Craig Levein anywhere near sort of earshot of Michael Stewart, just absolutely hates him. It's really good when the kind of any sort of illusion of professionalism.
He just chuckles. It's great.
Right, let's get back to the Rovers, and we'll get into lineups because this is always good fun. Go and have a shot at this. Scott, we're going to start with you because personally I like your lineups the best because they tend to be the closest to mine, and equally probably the furthest away from Ian Murray's. But just a question to lead you into your starting lineup. Are you bothering with a defensive midfielder at all?
Yes.
All right, okay, good.
Yeah, it was my only, I think, is probably the other few thousand Rovers fans' complaint from Saturday. was probably the omission of a sort of defensive midfielder. But if I was to give you a lucky guess at what formation I'm going to play, what do you think I would go with?
I reckon you're going for a solid 4-2-3-1, Scott.
Yeah, I don't think I've changed that since about November. So, I've got... Yeah, Kevin Goals, back for James Brown, Keith Watson. I'm hoping Ewan Murray's all right. I've not heard whether he's going to make it or not.
I've not heard one way or the other, but my heavy suspicion is that he won't be.
It's concussion protocol. And like each stage is like 24 hours.
For audio listeners, me and Duncan just had the expression of like two parents when a small child asks, is our pet going to be okay when it's on the way to the bed getting pooped out? That's the only way I can describe it. We're both like...
It was as soon as I said Ewan, you both just looked up. It's just like, all right.
Yeah. Although, was it not the last Ayr game at Starks that Kev played? Despite, I think the statute of limitation, I don't think anybody's going to shout at me for saying this now, that like he'd taken a head knock during the week, and I think he played that one. So I think the concussion protocols, I think you're right, Callum. I think it's like 24 hours per stage, as opposed to, like, I think rugby has set minimums, where it's like 7 days or 10 days or whatever. So, I mean, potentially it could be, but the last I heard from Ian Murray speaking on it, he didn't sound particularly confident. I didn't think that he would be back for this one.
Well, I think he'll be fine. So I've got him in my list. and then obviously Liam Dickett left back. I've got in midfield, my two are Scott Brown and Ross Matthews. I think I just really enjoyed watching Scott Brown anytime he's actually been in the middle of the park, which is his position. But obviously, he has done fine at centre-half as well, and I would imagine it will be him at centre-half if Ewan Murray doesn't make it beside Keith Watson. And then I've kind of really changed it up with the front four. Sort of, I've got Connolly on the right, Stanton at 10. I've got Josh Mullen on the left because I've said it a few weeks ago as well that I really want to see him cutting in on his right and Connolly cutting in on his left, because if you can either shoot when you're cutting in or just get a really sort of deep cross into the back post that could really, like, and I've got Jack Hamilton up front that could be like looking to just knock in from within the 6 yard box sort of area as well. It's something that I would like to try because I can't remember that we've done it other than maybe Morton away when Connolly got his two goals.
That's someone that's right to mind.
Yeah, I just felt that Hamilton probably is due a start after Ruddon's not done a lot in the last couple of games. He was scoring, but now he's not scoring. So I would, and it's maybe a bit harsh on Vaughan also, but I also think that Stanton at 10 would be quite exciting to see as well.
There's a lot of good points in there. It's very hard to argue with any of that, really. I think Jack Hamilton in particular, it's a very compelling case for Jack Hamilton to come back in ahead of Zach Ruddon. Let's see. Robbie, you next, please. Give me your lineup.
Yeah. Again, 4-2-3-1. Kevin Goals, Dickett left back, James Brown right back. Watson and Brown, I suspect, will be the back two. Again, would love Murray not to be on his way to the vets, but, you know, just got to see what happens with that.
It's not going to the vets, it's going to a farm.
Real thing. Down. Can you see that? His dad knows.
No, he's going to the farm with all the fields where all the players get to run around for a bit.
Yeah.
It's fine. He's going to a happy place.
Him and Lee Ashcroft. I'd tell you that, sorry to come back for a second. I'd have no issue at all with Ewan Murray missing this one if he's back for Tuesday. Like, I'd kind of be quite happy with that.
And as a podcast, we completely condone player safety as well. So again, the most important thing is that he comes back fit and healthy.
Yeah,
and
obviously
doesn't get shot behind a barn, as alluded to. Ross Matthews and Stanton as the two sort of holding midfielders. I think that Stanton, again, we spoke about it earlier on in the season, but he's got the ability to sort of melt between the number 10 role and push forward and do the distance to cover that defensive side as well. And he actually looked really good in the first game at Starks against Ayr before he went off against getting injured, and that game completely changed when he went off. I would have sort of an attacking trio behind of Easton, Vaughan, and I would have Mullen in for this one. Like Scott, I would have him on the right though. I think he looked, for me, one of his best games of the season was first up at half up at Arbroath, where he was constantly getting by that left back, and I think that he could cause a lot of problems doing that if they're in that position. And like Scott as well, I would have Jack Hamilton back in. Just would really like to see him get a run in the team again. I think that he's got the ability, can score goals for us. And he can be a big presence. So, yeah, all for it.
Robbie, I feel like this is like a countdown numbers round. I feel like I should have to show you my working because I have exactly the same starting 11. I think possibly for the first time ever on this podcast, two of us have laid out the same team.
And we're both going to be completely wrong about it.
Oh, of course we are. Yeah, it almost goes without mentioning. But, yeah, that's exactly what I've got for more or less the same reasons that you said, to be fair. I think you can certainly make a case for changing around a lot of those attacking players. And I think a lot of Scott's reasoning, to be fair, still applies for us, except we've both, you know, we're giving you and Murray a rest, effectively. And with that, for me,
Matthews. I like how you've put the thought into this, and I just came up with names and just stuck them on a bit of paper. just
rolling a dice with Rovers players sellotaped. I think, cause, yeah, basically Matthews becomes your kind of actual like holding midfielder, your kind of destroyer in that midfield. And I think Sam Stanton is best equipped to kind of be the middle box-to-box type, basically at all times. And then it kind of naturally leads to Vaughan at number 10. I don't think it's anything against Kyle Turner. I said this in the last podcast that we did. I don't think he was to blame for any of the issues on Saturday. I think he was fundamentally unsuited to the job he was being asked to do. But I think the only way he can keep his place is if you play him in a different position, effectively. I don't see that there's any value to be gained in kind of leaving him where he was. Christina, give me your lineup, please. Anyone you particularly want to shout out?
Again, absolutely no idea. So I've written down Stanton. No, I'm joking. I did write that initially. I have no idea. I've gone Keith Watson, Scott Brown, Liam Dick, James Brown, Matthews, Byrne, Mullen, Stanton, Vaughan, Hamilton.
And we've got a goalie.
Yeah. I was keeping him till last because I started putting him first, and that's just not my way. So I've put him back to setting him last again. He's definitely there.
David Burns an interesting shout.
Yeah, me too.
To bring back in, he's been out of the team for a wee while, so he might feel a bit like an opportunity to come in and show what he's got.
I think Sean Burns is the more kind of conservative choice for me last week. If you want to do what it looked like Ian Murray wanted to do. I still think Sean Byrne is a better option than kind of Kyle Turner for that one. But I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Sean Byrne start. If I was taking bets on why Robbie Yurzon and my lineup will be wrong, that would probably be top of my list. But I think Sean Byrne is probably most likely to come back in. Callum, you next, please. A lineup from you.
Right, so I've got Dalbrowski in goal. Jacob Brown right back, Keith and Scott at centre backs, Scott Brown, Liam Dick left back, Stanton and Matthews as the centre mids. I've gone with Mullen on the right because, like, that right foot of his when it comes to crossing is excellent, like, it's why we've got him. I've got Easton on the left. I feel like he's been quite good against Ayr this season. I've got Vaughan behind the striker. And that striker is going to be Zach Rudden for me. I feel like Hamilton coming on at about 60 minutes, 65 minutes, just causes chaos. And I think it's like him against tired centre-backs. You want someone energetic like Hamilton. But obviously you could obviously switch him out and it will be like the same sort of effect. That's how I feel it is with Hamilton and Rudden.
Yeah, I'm going to say this right from the off. He's passed a true first hallmark of a podcast, which is getting a player name wrong. Jacob Brown.
Is it James Brown?
James Brown.
See, I thought it was James as well. What was...
Jacob's the Luton. Scotland. Don't apologise. Yeah, absolutely nothing to apologise for, Callum, because it happens to everyone.
No, we've calling signed, Scott. We've signed Jacob Brown, actually. That's who's coming into play.
Well, to be fair, we were just making up players earlier on in the season with Scott Burns, so...
Yeah, we were. I'm still at the point where I'm still writing down full players' names quite a lot of the time just to try and avoid doing it. I have at least stopped writing down the name of you guys, though. I don't do that anymore for my intros. I have learned who you all are and just found that I don't stumble over them anymore.
That was quick.
Took me about 44 episodes or so. Right, Graham, line up from you, please. And anyone in particular you want to highlight?
I've got a wee bit different at the back. I've put Kev's in goals. Obviously, Dicko at left back. Keith Watson, Scott Brown at centre half. I've gone Ross Matthews at right back. Okay. I thought on Saturday, there's a lot of things we didn't do well on Saturday, but I think every time we actually attacked, it came down the left hand side. I don't need to praise him. We all saw him. There was only one full back across the halfway line on Saturday. And I think it's a problem down the right-hand side. I really think it's a problem down the right-hand side. Now, James Brown has come in and been solid and defended. But I think we need a wee bit more. I think Ross Matthews gave us a wee bit more at Hampden. He did come forward. I think that would certainly help. You know, if we're coming down two sides of the park, it's going to help rather than coming down one, and everybody knows what we're doing. So I'd have Ross Matthews right back. Midfield, Sean Byrne. Apart from getting battered by Tony Watt's knee in his face, I don't know what Sean Byrne's done wrong, not played as much. It's maybe down to Ross Matthews playing really well. I thought Sean Byrne's a clever player. When Queen's Park were playing that high press against us and we're kind of sitting on their 18-yard line, there was one ball in particular Sean Byrne put through where he lofted it over the defender and into space, because every time we tried to pay to feet, it wasn't getting there. And just that sort of game intelligence he's got, for me, gets him in the team. So him sitting, Stanton, basically just doing Sam Stanton stuff, as we all know that he does. Josh Mullen and Dylan Easton. I think Mullen and Easton have had pretty good time against Ayr recently. When we played them, I'd play then Vaughan. He scored a hat-trick against them at Stars Park. You can't leave him off the park. And I'd have Hamilton. Now, the Hamilton one's a dilemma because I think Zach Ruddon is no the greatest coming off the bench. I think Hamilton gives us more off the bench, but I think it's time to try Hamilton for the start again. We've got to try something different. I think we're a bit predictable at the moment. So I'd put Hamilton on for the start, see how it goes, and then change it if we need to change it.
I'm quite keen on Ross Matthews at right back. Having only really seen once recently in that Queen's Park game, but I obviously we talked about it after that game, but I thought he was excellent. I agree with you. I thought he did really, really well going forward and in his defending.
Yeah.
I would be more comfortable with it if we were getting Ewan Murray and Keith Watson in. I think the two non-defenders in your back four just makes me a little bit nervous, despite the fact that I recognise all the points that you're making. I think they're all absolutely legitimate. And it would obviously, getting ahead of ourselves, as you say, it would bridge that gap of having someone with a bit more time at right back heading into a set of playoffs where that might come. But I don't think that would be the manager's thinking at this stage. But it would be interesting to see. And yeah, it's interesting, this point about Jack Hamilton and Zach Ruddon. I mean, I think, based on the last couple of games, I certainly think Jack Hamilton almost certainly will start. But it's a little bit frustrating. Feels like for the last few years. So I'm going to make a big sweeping, generalising statement here.
Not like this podcast.
No, exactly. Not one of our usual nuanced, insightful pieces of commentary. It feels like we, like 70% of the time, pick our striker based on which strikers aren't in form, as opposed to the way around you would want to do it. It feels like that seems to generally be, it's like, oh, he's had a couple of games and he's not really been at it, so we're going to swap him around again.
For me, Ruddon's a frustrating one because you know what he can do. Like, the first, when he came in, like, straight away, he had a really big impact for those first few games, and you can see it. But then it's tailed off, and I think it's frustrating. I'm sure that he's trying his own head about it. But then as well, I would argue as well that potentially over the last few games, we've not really created as much. Like, we've had a few performances that have been quite quiet. You think of, like, the Partick away, we get the goal from a set piece with a header. Last week, we didn't really create much. Ruddon down at Ayr did have a really good game, linking up well with Louis Vaughan. And it's really hard to say. I mean, I feel like Ian Murray's got a very tricky choice to make. And you've also got the factor that you could potentially start both of them as well, which we've spoken about. Just go absolutely full chaos and just see how they handle two big lads going at them. Which, to be honest, I would be quite content to see. I think it would be an interesting change, because it can be decisions like that can change your season. So
I do think it would bring out, or maybe not necessarily bring out the best in them, I get the feeling they would both welcome it. Like, they would both like to play up with the other. Because they do, and Rob, you talk about this a lot, about with Jack Hamilton, where he gets kind of pigeonholed into being a target man almost by default. A lot of time,
I started calling him a target man, and then he said, don't call me a target man, so I stopped calling him a target man.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, it's based in truth, and that he gets used as a target man a lot of the time. And actually, I think both with the flick-ons and everything you get, you saw that when he came off the bench at Tannadice, and Callum Smith came on at the same time, and suddenly Callum Smith was kind of getting on the end of these flick-ons that had come out of nowhere, based on what had been happening previously. But actually, if you're a Zach Rudden, you want to be picking up those kind of flick-ons. But also, if you're Jack Hamilton, you know, Zach Rudden, if he's in and around the box as well, you're not just that one focal point. You'd think it's going to be trickier to defend against. It's going to open up space for the other. So whether Ayr United on Saturday is the right time to see that or not, I've got no idea. But I certainly think it's an option, and it would be one that it would be nice to see. I think we've only seen it for just a handful of minutes in the Cali game, I think. And then there was an injury kind of disrupted that. So I think it's a weapon in the arsenal that we've not really had a good chance to see up to this point.
Sorry, I was just going to say that it's something actually that I actually noted down for to see if we could do that against Airdrie, because we've not cracked the code against the Airdrie this year. So it's like, well, let's go with them two and see if they can deal with two big lads, because they've dealt with Hamilton on his own, Vaughan on his own, or the two of them together. But let's go with two big guys and see how Ferdice and, I don't know who else, is it Watson or someone that's at centre-half usually one? Or McCabe. But I just think that would be something different to do against them, against Ayr. I think we've proven that we can score goals against there this season, so that's not been an issue.
I think it'll be interesting to see what as well comes out. I know it's not been released yet, and I'm going to guess it'll come soon. I know that it's all voluntary, and it's these things can be difficult to get out when you want. But the Rafe TV interview with Ian Murray, to see what he's sort of saying. And like we said, I would love for them to be surprises. We spoke on the last podcast. It'd be very, very funny if Lee Ashcroft just came back and rocked up for the end of the season. Like, just a WWS style JR, like, oh my God, Lee Ashcroft, just out of nowhere.
But what is Lee Ashcroft's music? We need to listen out for it. It's kind of a verve, isn't it? It's just
Amazing Grace.
Yeah, are you right? It's just we've not had. Normally, it is a Thursday. You get Ian Murray's interview, and typically we get a chance to kind of pick out anything from it. But yeah, not had that yet. Be interesting to see.
There was one of the things about Rudden. There was a massive amount of negativity about Rudden in the ground on Saturday. Massive.
Rudden's one of these players that I personally just find that there is players that definitely just rub people the wrong way by existing. And Rudden's one of them. For example, Dario Zanatta was one where he'd go on a great run of form and everyone was like, yeah, this is fantastic. But like, and then as soon as it drops, he's like, he's pissed, get him gone. And that was it. Minds were
that
made
was,
up.
That was what it was like on Saturday. Honestly, it was like
aye,
that. Aye. Jump for Rudden, a header.
Rudden could
like,
score in every
you need
game.
To lay off to somebody.
Aye. Rudden could score in every game up until the final day and keep us within the title, and there'd still be people that'd say, I don't know about him. And I'm sure just
have
that gallusness as a player, just to say, I don't really care, I'm just going to come and do a job.
If you were putting a case together in defence of Zach Rudden, I think from Saturday, I mean, he hit the bar. You know, damn closer than anybody else did. And I mean, not that it's particularly productive to just defend one by pointing the finger at the others, but I think he was more involved in that game, as you know, little as he was, to be brutally honest. Probably more so involved though than Lewis Vaughan or Sam Stanton. Who,
I swear that was like the only thing we did after Dundee United, like, got that first goal. Was it after the first goal? Yeah, I think
it was. We had the kind of first 5 minutes, we had those few chances, and then really after that, it pretty much was that strike from Rudden. But you're right, it just seems to be... I think it doesn't help, obviously he's come in kind of laterally, so he doesn't have the same kind of back book of goodwill that the likes of Lewis Vaughan and Sam Stanton do have. But yeah, I mean, that was a... I don't think that was a performance that was really related to anybody individually playing particularly poorly, as much as there were players who were far off their best. That was a poor team performance. There wasn't anybody that needed to be kind of particularly singled out for it. Right, let's just do a quick round of predictions on this. And I'm actually going to ask you to predict two games, which I wouldn't normally do. But this is the last time for a couple of weeks that us and Dundee United actually play at the same time. So obviously we've got the game in hand on Tuesday night. But then this week coming, they've got the Friday night game. And then the following week, we've got the Friday night game. So after this weekend, it goes back to
I think the Friday after, they've got a Friday night game as well. Because they're playing the Airdrie that Friday.
Aye. So is that, so did that then mean this will be the last weekend until... It'll be the last season or the penultimate, the last weekend, we or the penultimate
playing,
weekend.
The second last weekend, we're playing Cali on the Friday. Or no, it'll be...
Morton's the second last game.
Aye. Third last game, we're playing Cali away on the Friday. And then I don't know about the second last day, but I'm sure the Courier had an article about it saying that I think that the final day is the last day that we'll actually play on the same day, just due to the way that...
Weekend, aye.
So BBC kicking the arse out their allocation of championship games, sending us and Dundee United here, there and everywhere to play our football matches and saving it for the final day at Tannadice.
It's weird that they don't have like an extra game for the last weekend. So like they have to predict what they think will be the big game weeks and weeks in advance, rather than just kind of like, we'll go to every ground twice. And
a joker,
we'll
basically
pick one on the last day of the season. That would be more sensible. But anyway, sorry, what I'm going to ask you to predict then is us against Dundee United and Dundee United away at Queen's Park, I think. They're hand. Sure they are.
Yeah.
Remember that we're going to win the league by 17 points there.
Oh, of course, aye. Well, where do you want to win the league? I'd like to win it at hand. Aye, okay.
By 17 points.
Mm-hmm. Right, so start with Robbie, start with you first of all. Raith Rovers versus Ayr United and Queen's Park versus Dundee United.
I'll go with 2-1 Rovers, and I think United will, Queen's lost last weekend and they are in a good run of form, but I just think that United will probably have enough to do the job for them. I think it'll probably be 2-1 United.
Did you see the free kick that Callum Ferry conceded against Morton? Callum Ferry, who plays out of his skin against us, looks like the greatest goalkeeper you've ever seen. Just like, you know, sometimes you see a goalkeeper who they kind of fall over a shot or something like that, or they fumble it, and sometimes you see the ones where it looks like they're actively shoveling it into their own goal. That's one of those. It's a really, I you would think he was a completely different goalkeeper when he plays Morton versus when he plays us. Graham. Predictions from you, please, on these two.
2-0 the Rovers. And I think, depending on what you'd... Jim Goodwin's an enigma, yeah? If he doesn't play Molt and Watt together, I see United struggling. If he does, they'll win 3-1, 4-1, something like that. I think people are predicting this could be the one they slip up. I think it's going to be a random game they slip up. It's not going to be Saturday.
All right. Like how anyone talking with certainty, like about a slip up from Dundee United, is very funny.
Callum, your predictions, please, for these two games.
I'm going to go with the old faithful 2-1 to the Rovers, because I swear that's been the most common result this season. And for the Dundee United Queens game, you know, it's like last season. Jim Goodwin got Dundee United into a point where it was in their own hands. They had the momentum and they could have stayed up, and they lost the last five games. Clearly this shows a lack of big game mentality from Mr. Jim Goodwin. So I'm going with 1-0 Queens from just a completely bizarre goal. Just something completely random. Although saying that last season they did have Mark Berighetti in goal. If only they brought him back for this season, we'd be a bit further ahead.
He's still there somewhere. Certainly still on the payroll. I don't know if he's even in the country. He could have had his feet up on Bondi Beach for the last 9 months, but they're still paying him. We had to come back and sit on the bench at Kilmarnock.
I think it's harsh
for
money.
One weekend. Mm. Christina, predictions from you. I know you'll make predictions, but I'll ask you to try anyway, please.
I'm going to go 3-0 Rovers and 1-0 Queen's Park. I'm with Callum on the Queen's Park one. Because now I feel like Dundee United are back on that, or we've got it in the bag, and I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'd certainly take that. Scott, how about you?
Yeah, I'll follow suit in terms of a Rovers win. I think it'll be, as it has been, I think there'll be goals in this game. I'm going to say 3-2 Rovers. I don't know what way the Dundee United game's going to go. I think it'll just be one goal either way, because it seems to be that Dundee United, we actually played into their hands a wee bit last week by playing football. They love somebody that's going to come out and play them at their own game. Whereas they've struggled like a lot against teams that sit in. So I could see Callum Davidson doing exactly that, because that's what he did with St Johnstone for basically his whole time there. So it'll be 1-0 to either side at that game. But I just don't see there being goals in that game.
Yeah, I'm almost in this weird, kind of football supporters mindset, which doesn't stand up to any logic, where I'm almost more confident in Queen's Park than I am in the Rovers. So just for exactly the reason that you've said there, if Callum Davidson knows anything, it's kind of shit-fest in games and getting results. And I think in Killian Sheridan and Rory Payton, I think they'll go and sort of occupy United's defence in a way that we didn't really. And I'm still not convinced by that Dundee United defence. I know they kept a clean sheet against us, but we just didn't ask them enough questions.
I think as well, I don't know if he's injured or not, so it might be a bit of a fruitless point to make, but Dom Thomas up against Miller Thompson, if they've not got a right back, could be quite an interesting battle. How does he handle that? Because that was one thing that we really didn't exploit until for all of about 5 minutes when Callum Smith came on. Miller Thompson looked a wee bit shaky against him, but then he got grips with him. So Dom Thomas is one of the best wingers in this league, so if he can get the better of him, you never know. But again, I said at the top of this podcast, focus on the Rovers, and that's where I'm not going to look too much into that game. As far as I'm concerned, it's 3 points, and Queen's Park won't do us any favours, because I said that in quite a lot of games this season, and we did get a few favours. So Queen's Park, you're absolutely going to do nothing for us, and you're going to lose 2-0.
This is when they actually win.
This is it. I disagree with you, mate. I think Queen's Park are going to do the business. I think that's going to be 2-1 to Queen's Park over Dundee United.
And I think anything can happen. Anything
Queen's
can
Park
happen.
Fans, bookmark this, because I know that you're definitely going to be listening to a Rafe Rovers podcast where we certainly would almost not be talking about your game. Bookmark it, tell me I'm wrong when you lose 2-0.
Just remember, this Dundee United side lost 3-0 to Dunfermline a few weeks ago.
They're not all they're cracked up to be. That's what I'm sticking to. But I do think we're going to draw 2 each. And everybody's going to be giving it all the same.
Duncan, can you just go and do the team talk for Queen's Park next Saturday? Just get you, just a wee video. You just going, side, they're not all that. Just believe, lads.
Yeah, just that's it. Believe in yourselves.
The best prediction should be, guys, right? How many times Jack Sanders, get the names wrong, right? Sanders, the boy from Kilmarnock, right? How many times he gets the ball, we put him under pressure and he just falls over and gets a free kick? He must have done about 6 times at Somerset Park. He did it as many times against Airdrie. Yeah. He just seems to shit the bed.
Yeah. And he gets a big kick. It's mental.
Is McGinty's fit, eh?
McGinty played left back.
See how fit he was. You know what I mean? I like smell it.
Fit in football in terms, eh? I'm not talking about... It's no run of marathons as far as I'm concerned. But I'm interested to see the reception he gets after his moments of madness at Starks Park in that last game. Because he came across as a bit of an animal of a defender.
I think he's also an enigma down here. Yeah. If they play well, he's all right. If they play shite, it's Saul McGinty's fault. So, came from Man U, apparently. Who would have thought?
I never mentioned that, though. so, Yes, I think that'll take us through our predictions. I'm sure one of us will be right. Definitely me.
No.
So before we wrap up, though, what we do have is we have yet another round of should McStay or should Dar go? And some of us have actually got a chance of winning this time because Robbie is hosting this round as the runaway reigning champion. So Robbie, over to you, mate, and fire away.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with the game, six clues about a Raith Rovers player from the past or present, and you are to attempt to guess. So we will kick off with number one. And Christina, I'm going to check with you on this one. Your first game was Dunfermline 3-0 against them in the derby, is that correct?
Yes.
I have played for Raith during Christina's time attending games, and my name is not Willis Furtado.
Right, okay.
That would also rule out Blair Hopcroft's guess of Eddie Malone. So
Blair's just sitting there on a bike somewhere, just going, Eddie Malone, no! Any opening bits?
You had some position, did you?
No positions yet.
Right.
I want to guess.
Okay.
Chris Duggan.
Okay.
Tony Dingle.
Jamie McDonald.
Okay. Regan Tumulty.
Right.
I think we all know who I'm going to say. It's Matty Poplatnick.
Okay. Number two. I am a midfielder.
Well, it's not Poplatnick.
Definitely not Jamie McDonald.
I'll stick.
Grant Gillespie.
Graham, you any changes?
I'll stick with Tony Dingwall.
Fair.
I'll go
Bobby Barr.
Nathan Flanagan.
Nathan Flanagan. Interesting.
Oof, what a player.
What was yours, Duncan?
Grant Gillespie.
Grant Gillespie. Number three, I have won two titles in my career.
I'll stick with Greg Gillespie because I don't know. But I'm not going to get anyone else.
Don't know if Wig of the Year would come as in as a title there, Duncan.
I'll change and I'll go Nat Wedderburn.
Oh, that's
I was going to say him. I was about to say Nat Wedderburn because obviously it's not going to be Bobby Byrne.
I was stuck between Wedderburn and Flanagan with both the Nats, and then I just went Flanagan.
Too tight.
It probably isn't it, but I'll say Danny Armstrong.
Christina?
No idea.
Duncan's looking deep in thought.
I'm just staring at Grant Gillespie's name. There's stuff not had I'm not any advance on that.
We all had our guesses for the third one there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Number four, I played 40 times for the Rovers.
I'm going to stick with Grant Gillespie.
Good one for him.
Was Liam Buchanan a midfielder?
No,
he
was a centre forward.
He was a striker.
Was Greg Spence a midfielder?
Striker.
No, he's a striker. I've got a funny Liam Buchanan story, though.
I'm just going to stick with... I can't even mind what I said. Danny Armstrong.
Callum?
I'm still stuck on Bobby Barr for whatever reason. I don't even think he's played 40 games. I can't think
Bobby
of Dario
Zanata,
is he a midfielder?
I'd give you Dario Zanata as a midfielder.
If it can't be Bobby Barr, then Dario Zanata counts.
Right, number five. Raith Rovers were my first club.
Ross Callaghan.
Great shout.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure he was with us at that point.
I've got somebody's face in
actually,
my...
I think
I'm letting Christina
more.
Fonex shout.
First Rovers, my first club. Only played four.
So Johnny Corn?
He was a centre forward. He was a centre forward. So it's a midfielder. Played for Rovers during Christina's time attending. Brackets, not Furtado. Won two titles in their career. And they played 40 times for Rovers, who were their first club. Graham?
I thought these are meant to get easier.
I'm trying to think of the young kids that we had that came through, the midfielders. It's Callaghan, Matthews.
I'm sitting going, it has to be somebody that's like came through, not maybe through like our, if you want to call it an academy, but I can't get somebody that was their first club.
First somebody who's won two titles as well. Is it somebody who's... I realise it's a competition, but I can't help just trying to work it through.
Will and Tate.
Okay.
Oh, that could be a good shout, actually.
I think you're right.
I was thinking of that in my head as well. Like, that then came into my head.
In your head's not good enough, Callum. Because number six, I left for Hibs before moving on to Falkirk.
Well done.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Very well done.
And Hamilton.
Actually,
you better get your Rovers 1980s and 1990s books out when it's the Defenders title.
That's another
good
one.
What I'm
going
to say is I've got like a big catalogue like at the back of my room with all of my Rovers programmes and the temptation to wheel over there just to grab them and go through them all.
So he scored 5 goals for Rovers. He scored the second last goal of the 2010s, was it? Against East Fife. Jamie Gullen was the last player to score in that game, the 5-3 game at Bayview. And obviously he was at Partick, then moved to the Fife Elite, and then we had him in. And been out on loan a ridiculous number of times as well, because he went to Arbroath, he was at Killy, won the league. Well, actually, yeah, that's a good point. He's won 3 leagues because he won the title with Killy as well.
Oh, now we
saw it.
Right. Okay. This is
what
he's
won 3 titles. That can't be.
Well,
there is a link with Saturday's opponents in Dillon Tate, because I think he was the last signing when Graham Matthew was at MD at Hibs, and was reported to a mate of mine who was doing some scouting for Dundee United, that the head of youth at Hibs at that point, maybe, allegedly, before we get any bother, said that he was not good enough for Hibernian.
Cool. I cannot wait for our slush fund to get used as libelous defences.
Well, to be fair, I
remember Dillon Tate's mates basically coming after me on what is now X, because I had also said that I didn't think that he was ready for the SPL, and they basically just jumped on the bandwagon because it was their mate.
I think Exhibit A would be his minutes for Hibs since then. Like, I mean, unfortunately, like, because I would have been
quite
pleased
to
kicked on.
I'm interested to see where he ends up, because obviously he's gone to Falkirk and now he seems to be getting a bit of game time there. I know that McGlynn's going to take quite heavily in terms of the squad, but you would think that they've got an abundance of attacking options going forward. I don't know how long his deal is with Hibs, whether it's expiring in the summer, but yeah, he's one of these players that just seems to be out on loan consistently, but I'm sure he'll come in his game as he gets older.
That's gone, isn't it?
That's it. But we got a good deal out of it. So, Christina mentioned about Liam Buchanan. It's funny, he has a couple of... he's got twins and he's got a wee boy. And his sister used to take his wee boy to, it might be triplets or twins, I'm not sure, but his sister used to take his eldest son to games. And when he was up at, I think it was something like Brechin for the Rovers, his son, who must have been about like 4 or 5 at the time, someone put in a really crunching tackle into Buchanan, and his son was really wanting to jump the advertising boards to go and attack the other player as a toddler. It's just like brilliant, but aye. Really nice. So,
quite right. There should be more toddlers attacking football players in defence of their families. I think that would It would spice up match day a little bit. Right, I think that will bring us to a close for today. So thank you, everybody, for watching and for listening, if you chose to do so. Other way around. As we've covered in great detail, it's obviously another huge game on Saturday. So we will hope to see you there, and you will hear from us again on Sunday, I suspect, as we'll look back to all whatever's happened. And also at that point, we'll look ahead to Tuesday night in Airdrie as well. So as I say, thank you again, and we will see you then. Goodbye.